You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Live from MMA Fighting Studios, this is Between the Links. And now, your host, Mike Heck.
The iconic voice of Esther Lynn welcomes you to a brand new edition of Between the Links here on MMAfighting.com, on our YouTube page, and debuting on the MMAfighting.com Twitter page. How about that? Thank you for watching, and as always, we're putting you to work. So leave your thoughts on how these rounds play out, on the topics themselves. You could make the difference, my friends, and you could see your wonderful thoughts right here on the big screen. But we have a lot to discuss. We have a heck of a matchup for the BTL strap. Let us introduce the combatants and get to our first topic. First, the challenger, a good friend of the website. She's been on some post-fight shows, the A-side, a veteran of 27 professional fights for the likes of the UFC, PFL, Invicta, Strikeforce, and others, looking to add another championship to her collection. Let us say hello to Sarah Kaufman. How are you, Sarah?
We're ready to fight. We're ready to win.
There we go. That's what we like to see. It's a 2-on-1 for our reigning defending BTL champion. He's back looking to separate himself as possibly the pound-for-pound best competitor in the short history of the program, from MMAfighting.com, the host of the A-Side Live Chat, Mr. Jose Youngs. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm already behind the eight ball. Let's keep it honest. Anytime there's a professional fighter, someone close to the only judge that matters in Casey Lydon, I'm already down 1-0. And she brings a dog on the show. I don't want to say it's a conspiracy, but it's definitely a conspiracy. So I'm already losing. It is what it is. I'll still win.
Okay. Well, those be fighting words. Let's just start right out with the big news of the week. You heard my reaction and my colleague Stephen Morocco's reaction to this already. But Dana White announced on Monday evening that UFC 261 will take place in Jacksonville, Florida, in front of a full house of fans. And on top of that, we have a third title fight for that card and a main event. The rematch between Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal will close the show and will follow Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade for the flyweight title and Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas for the strawweight title. Sarah, we will begin with you. First fight in front of a full house since the pandemic started. Your reaction to this piece of business? Was this the right fight to make for the welterweight title? Was this the right fight to make to headline this event?
I think to headline the event, it's a great matchup. They're in Florida. Both of these guys have spent a lot of time in Florida. Masvidal clearly has a huge following out there, so he's going to get big fan appeal. He always does, but especially in what he now considers his home state. And I think, I don't know if he's originally from there or has spent all of his time there, but I think in terms of Florida, it's a great choice. I think in terms of the division, it's not the best choice. Masvidal has not had a win or any fight since he last fought Usman. Yes, he came in short notice. He took it to a decision, but I don't think that he at this point deserves to have another title shot, especially given Usman's been in there. He's fought a lot of the top people. Masvidal hasn't. If you look at the top 10 list, Masvidal has had very few matchups against those people in the division, whereas Usman has fought many of those top, has beaten them, and he's in that top spot right now.
Jose, what say you? Fight to make? What did you think of this news? I don't think the news and the fight itself was a surprise, but to have it headline already in April, first event in front of fans, a capacity crowd in the United States since the pandemic began, was this the right fight to make to headline that event?
I actually do agree with Sarah. It's the right fight to make for the first fight back, especially if it's in Florida. It's not the right fight to make if you like the meritocracy of the UFC rankings. Take that for what you want. But Kamaru Usman's pretty much beat everyone in the top five, and we were all agreed that if he has to go all the way down to Stephen Thompson to fight to get a new fresh matchup. So we were all hoping possibly for Stephen Thompson, especially because he's getting closer to 40. He might not be able to compete for the UFC title for much longer, or at least get a shot. Or Leon Edwards, depending on what happened against Bilal Muhammad. But we all know what happened in that fight. So if it's in Florida and it's the first fight back and they want to really sell out a massive arena, because let's not forget, ever since this happened, Dana White has been saying, we will be the first. We will be the first. We will be the first to sell out a big, massive arena. Yes, WrestleMania is the week before in Florida, in Tampa, but that is limited capacity. It's still 40,000 fans. it is what it is. It's not 70,000, it's still 40,000. Dana White wants to be the absolute first professional sport to sell out an arena. He's not going to have as many fans in attendance, but there will be no empty seats. So, yes, if he's trying to sell tickets in the state of Florida in the year of our Lord 2021, right fight to make. Not the right fight if you care about rankings.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was going to happen at some point with fans being back at full capacity. Dana has been preaching for a while. He wanted to be first. He won't be first, but he'll be one of the first to do it. Who knows if the Rangers will sell it opening day. But are you surprised, Jose, that it's happening so soon? Like, what's your reaction to this happening in a little over a month?
I think it's tough to say because they announced it relatively recently. But for all we know, those two have known for a long time because they were, where there's smoke, there's fire. And where Kamaru Usman was called out Jorge Masvidal immediately after beating Gilbert Burns, Jorge Masvidal said he was ready. So, no, it doesn't surprise me because I am on the side where these two have known a lot longer than the public has known. So, for all we know, they're a month into camp already, and this isn't a quick turnaround.
What do you think, Sarah? Just the announcement of having it in front of a full house like this, with the pandemic and all this stuff. Not surprised Dana wanted to be back this quickly, but are you surprised it's happening this quickly?
I mean, nothing really surprised me when it comes to decisions that are made. And when UFC was first continuing to keep fights and everything else was shut down, that was, Rhino agrees with me. She's upset. she won't be quiet. But anyways, UFC does what they need to do to make things happen. Clearly, they want to be the first. They're going to push this forward. Can you even hear me? Oh, my gosh. This dog. I'm so sorry. Rhino, stop. No one cares. They just care about the dog barking. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. This is a very active pup. Very, very excited dog. But kind of going back to the matchup, like Usman wanted this fight after he stopped Gilbert Burns. Masvidal wanted this fight, obviously, after UFC 251. Both guys get a full camp this time. But, you know, the first fight wasn't received very well amongst the fans. And the circumstances are a bit different this time around. Masvidal fighting in Florida, obviously, like you guys talked about, is a big deal. Usman obviously has ties to Florida. The build to this fight is key, Sarah. It will be fun, I'm sure. But you being a fighter, getting the win obviously is the most important thing and making that money. But considering how the first fight went, is it important in the grand scheme of things that this fight is different, that it's action packed and it delivers for the fans?
The answer should be yes. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be what's going to win you the fight. Now, I know last time Usman kind of went in with that, let's grind him out, let's make him tired, he's not in shape. And Masvidal for sure is going to come differently for this fight. So I do think it will be different. But I also think that Masvidal is going to struggle again with that wrestling and with that cage control. I'm sure he'll prepare for it. But I do think Usman will try and get that 5-round decision. Is probably going to be the result. He's just stay and still.
Jose, in your heart of hearts, and it's hard to predict because you're still like 5 or 6 weeks away, but do you see this fight going any differently than the first one?
I still favor Kamaru Usman. I don't know if it will be the same outcome because, again, like Jorge Masvidal cut how many pounds in 48 hours? He wasn't even in camp. Because remember back then at UFC 251, he was in the middle of that contract situation where he was asking for more money. So I have absolutely no idea how well-trained he was. Obviously, he's had like 40-something fights, so it doesn't take much for him to get ready. But to prepare for a fighter of Kamaru Usman's caliber is difficult. Also, let's not forget, Mike Brown was not in his corner for that fight. He couldn't go over there, so he didn't even have his head coach. So the fact that he only gets to travel a few hours rather than all the way across the other side of the world on short notice with his head coach there, I imagine his game plan and preparation will be a lot better, but I actually do think Kamaru Usman will win. I don't think it'll – I'm not on the camp that it was a boring fight, but the fact that there are fans in the crowd – might make a difference because I can't get inside of the mind of Usman, but if he starts to hear the boo birds in there when he's just holding the hometown favorite against the fence, I don't know how I'll react to that. It'll be a very interesting situation to see play out though.
Last thing on this, Jose, and I've already been on record saying that I have no problem with them making this fight. I actually think it's the right fight to make considering what the division looks like right now. We don't have a clear-cut number one contender. You can make arguments for Wonderboy and Colby and some other guys, but in terms of drawing power and getting this division moving, I don't have a problem with this. But this will be the second time in a month and a half, Jose, that a UFC event will have three title fights. We just had 259, trio of title fights. We also have Chris Weidman, Uriah Hall on this card. We get Anthony Smith versus Jimmy Crute on this card, plus some other fun matchups. Is this card equal to, greater than, or less than 259 on paper as it stands right now?
Ooh, that is a really good question. I'm going to say as of right now, it's a little better. There's a lot of heat on the top of the card. And again, we had a lot of heat between Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling leading up to that fight, but it wasn't the main event. Anytime it's the main event and that's the drawing power and there's some sort of heat behind it. And I think a lot of people agree that Jessica Andrade might pose the biggest threat to Valentina Shevchenko. And then Zhang Weili and Rose Namajunas are two of the biggest fan favorites. And I think this fight, this is the most competitive fight of the three title fights on this card. And I think a lot of people thought Amanda Nunes was going to win against Megan Anderson. So I'm going to say right now, in terms of just competitiveness and rivalry building up, it's better than UFC 259.
Sarah, what do you think? Agree or disagree with Jose?
I would like to disagree just so I could state my opinion, but I do agree. I think that these three fights, I think all across the board, have fan appeal, have excitement, and have the potential to be very great fights, with everyone knowing all six fighters in the event, or in those title fights. I think the last card, you had some who were somewhat unknown or maybe not as big of names, still great fights. But I definitely think that this has a stronger selling point.
April 24th, it all goes down. We'll clearly talk about this card more the closer we get to it, but a big piece of news earlier this week, no doubt about that. But the point for round one goes to the champion, Jose Young's on the board, up 1-0. It's not Sarah's fault. It's kind of Rhino's fault, but it is what it is.
I blame Rhino.
Yeah, it happens. That's but fair. He's been quiet ever since. So there we go. But we go from that big news to more unfortunate matters. Another tough ending to a big fight went down this past Saturday at UFC Vegas 21. Leon Edwards finally gets back in the octagon after nearly 2 years away. He takes on the surging Bilal Muhammad. Leon looked fantastic in the first round. And then a nasty eye poke from Leon Edwards to Bilal Muhammad stops the fight. And it was just rough for everyone involved. Jose, you have talked about this quite a bit. We talked about it on the post-fight show. I know you talked about it on the A-side, but let's just ask, has the sting lessened over the last 5 days?
The sting for us fans, I don't know, because some fans are obviously much more invested into the scenario than me, especially fans of both, like the fans of the UK obviously are very behind Leon Edwards. And then Bilal Muhammad is one of the more popular fighters in the United States, especially in the Chicago area. But for the division and for Bilal Muhammad, the sting definitely hasn't worn off, because we got no... How will Leon Edwards look? Can he win and get his long-awaited title shot? And so, no, the sting has not worn off for either fighter. Leon Edwards stabbed a man in the eye, got a no decision, and then he's already calling for a title fight. I disagree. I disagree with him in terms of, he said that I deserve a title shot right now. I just think there weren't enough questions that were answered. I wouldn't hate if they ran it back, but I do understand Leon Edwards wants to move onward and upwards. So if they match him up against Burns, Wonderboy, or Covington for an actual number one contender fight, wouldn't mind either. But the biggest loser in this is Bilal Muhammad. Went in there on short notice, didn't get his full paycheck, got stabbed in the eye. Who knows when he comes back, and he's already being overlooked by the man that just stabbed him in the eye. So yeah, sting has a worn off for everyone involved.
Sarah and Rhino, I'm interested to get your perspective on the ending to that fight. Since, you know, you obviously competed many times in the cage. How unfortunate was this ending as a fighter to watch? And was the no contest the right call here? What did you make of the eye poke, the whole thing?
Eye pokes, they always say in the back, if you poke someone in the eye, we're going to take a point because we're giving you our warning. So it's hard because clearly no one means to eye poke, especially when you go to throw a punch, you go to push off. It does happen, but you are warned that in the back, you're already given your warning. And if it happens, you get a point deduction. So it is a little bit controversial to me when they say that in the back, you still get a warning when it does happen. At the end of the day, I think it was clearly accidental. It wasn't meant, it wasn't intended. Leon was winning the fight. And so I see from his standpoint, he has a lot to lose. He took the fight because no one else would step up when the original opponent was out. Bilal steps in. They have this main event. The fight's going well. This, you know, horrific eye injury happens. Bilal is clearly upset. He clearly wants to continue, but obviously can't. It's just unfortunate all around. I do think that they should rematch because while he won the first round and was on his way to looking good, there were still over 3.5 rounds left in this fight, and a lot can change. Bilal is so talented and could have definitely turned that fight around. I agree that it's unfortunate for Bilal here. In Leon's eyes, well, I was doing well. I was winning. I poked him in the eye, but it happens. It's a no contest. He moves forward. He wants to move on. I think they need to run it back, but it's definitely harder on Bilal because this was a big come up for him, and a big win would bump him up into a much higher position.
So on the last two cards, we've gotten a DQ and a title fight, and we've gotten two no contests the following week. So hopefully the tides will turn when it comes to that coming up this Saturday and moving forward. But Sarah, you want to see these guys run it back. And we've discussed this many times in the show. There's what should happen and what's going to happen. So while you want to see the rematch, what do you think the chances are that the UFC is going to run this fight back?
I don't think that they'll try and run it back unless everyone else says no to fighting Leon, which seemed to have been an issue in his past, and he seems to struggle to get opponents in some ways, and whether it's injuries or just people don't want to fight him because he's, you know, really good. I think that they'll try and move on, pair someone else up, but I'd like to see them run it back.
All right, so Jose, you think they're going to move on, not going to run it back. Edwards should get a fight with, you know, one of the top five guys, which would make sense at this point. Hopefully it happens sooner rather than later because he needs to get back in there and make a statement. But if you're Bilal Muhammad and this rematch isn't there for you, what do we do? Like, he's obviously did them a favor stepping up on short notice. He took a horrific eye poke. He's ranked in the top 15. Do we keep him with like the Sean Brady's of the world, or do we give him somebody at least in the top 10 for stepping up and taking a chance and trying to save this main event?
I think it would depend on when he physically can come back after getting stabbed in the eye, because that was a grisly eye poke. Like he, the second it happened, you kind of knew that fight was over. He was saying, I can't see. Yes, his vision is coming back, but he wants to take full precautions, I would imagine. So until he is fully cleared, it's hard to answer, because if he's not clear, if he can't fight in 6 months, the division might be completely different in 6 months. If he can fight in a few weeks and wants a quick turnaround, if he wants to fight in June, why not have him fight Khamzat? Leon Edwards was supposed to fight Khamzat. Bilal Muhammad is in the top 15. Khamzat is no longer in the top 15. I wouldn't hate that fight either. I think the only thing standing in the way of that is they both have the same manager in Ali Abdelaziz. But if they can get past that and set up a fight, I wouldn't hate that either. Bilal Muhammad doesn't seem to have any issues with Khamzat, but if Khamzat is dead set on fighting someone in the top 15, why not that fight? It would be a really fun fight. It would be a good test for him, fighting someone with a really good tank and really good pressure. But it seems like he wants to fight Neil Magny too, which is another fight I wouldn't mind seeing Bilal Muhammad fight. So, or maybe the loser slash winner of Woodley and Luque. The welterweight division just absolutely rules right now. I just want to see activity. Don't really care who they fight. I just want to see them fight.
Yeah, activity is the name of the game. There's a lot of talent up there. There's a lot of intrigue, but a ton of unanswered questions at this point. We saw Gilbert Burns tweeting out earlier today, I'm looking at June. Said yes to two guys. Colby said no. We obviously don't know what Colby said about that, but these guys got to get in there and fight. Let's move this division forward, because that's why Usman versus Masvidal was the clear fight to make here, because there's nobody else there. It's absolutely wild, but hopefully we get some answers to these questions soon. With that, we're going to head to round three. The point for round two goes to Sarah Kaufman. She has tied things up. Rhino kept it down a smidge. That was a tailor-made question for Sarah anyways. Like, she's a fighter. Eye pokes, no contest, EQs.
What am I going to say?
You did a good job, though. It was close. It's 10-9.5. But we'll move ahead to some other news since we last spoke, since we went early last week, as MMAfighting.com first reported the UFC and Megan Anderson have parted ways following her UFC 259 loss to Amanda Nunes. She went into that event on the last fight of her deal, and that's it. She's moving on. The UFC is moving on from the Megan Anderson business, and that's that. So, Sarah, I will begin with you. What was your reaction to Megan Anderson's official departure from the UFC following that title fight loss to Amanda Nunes?
In my mind, that's showing that the direction the UFC wants to go, if Megan had won, She would have had the title. There would have been an immediate rematch for the title, I'm sure. She would have signed a new contract. Maybe that division sticks around. I think with having her fight her contract out, it looks like, you know, she lost. That division will probably get closed down, and the UFC probably isn't looking to continue to have people on the roster who can't make 135. Maybe if Megan could make 135, like some of the other girls, you know, they had Macy Chiazon, who started at 145, has since moved down to 135. I think that's clearly the direction they're trying to go. And so having her lose, she got her opportunity. The division's over. They start to shut it down. They move her on to a different division in another organization. And UFC uses Amanda for 135.
What was your reaction to this news, Jose? I mean, I'm not, I guess because the contract was running out, I'm not overly surprised. I'm surprised that we found out about it so quickly, because she jumped on Twitch and said, I'm done with the UFC. They're folding the division. But then we found out that her contract just expired and they decided to part ways from each other. What did you think? How did you react to finding out that Megan was no longer with the UFC?
It didn't overly surprise me. I wasn't aware of her contract situation leading to that fight. It's unfortunate that, but I don't want to say it's fortunate, because if Megan wanted to leave and she wasn't happy, then it is fortunate for her that she gets to explore new options. She just got the big Twitch partnership, which she made it known less than 1% of the world that streams on Twitch ever get a partnership. So she's happy with that, and she says there are more opportunities for her outside of the UFC. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise, but those aren't hers words. I'm just speculating right now. I think the featherweight division will continue as long as Amanda wants to fight at 145, and there are challenges for her. If Danielle Wolfe wins, beats Felice Spencer, why not? That's a fight that could possibly happen. GDR and Holly Holm and both also fought at 145, so if they want to jump up and test themselves without having to cut weight, so be it. Megan was also pretty vocal with her displeasure of the UFC's treatment of the featherweight divisions and women, especially when Macy Chiazon won and she dropped back down to 135. Megan Anderson kind of voiced how disappointed she was because they put this whole TV show together to find contenders, and then they all dropped back down immediately. And we've seen from the friend of the site, Shorty Torres, when there's a fighter that's pretty outspoken with the UFC's handling of fighters, the UFC tends not to like that, and maybe they cut ties with them when they can, or they just don't welcome them back. So it didn't surprise me, but it's still unfortunate if Megan wanted to continue her UFC career. But if she didn't, then happy trails to Megan. I hope she can find more opportunities for her in the future.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously been a lot of questions about the future of this division. We got Amanda Nunes, who's the champion. She loves being the double champ. I know Megan said on Twitch that the fight between Felicia Spencer and Danielle Wolfe will be the last fight before they close the division. From all accounts, that is not true, but there's not a lot of options. And I think, Jose, just to kind of like go back on something you just said, if Danielle Wolfe somehow beats Felicia Spencer, I think it would be absolutely criminal for her to fight Amanda Nunes next, at 2-0.
100%. That's 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were trying to get, like, she has boxing background, right? And they were trying to get Clarissa Shields to fight Amanda Nunes in an MMA fight. Remember, she came and did a scrum backstage and she didn't even train MMA. So would it surprise you if they threw Danielle Wolfe in there against Amanda Nunes? Because it wouldn't surprise me. It would be criminal, but it wouldn't surprise me.
They weren't going to throw her in there right away, though. She's just there and she's backstage. Why not throw her in there? You think there was some heat there?
I think the fact that she was supposed to fight in December or the fourth quarter of some year, and there was a lot of smoke with Zuffa Boxing, and then the second she pulled out of her fight, Zuffa Boxing disappeared. I think where there's smoke, there's fire.
Fair enough. So kind of going back to you, Jose, Amanda loves this champ thing, and it seems like she would prefer to fight at 145 more often than not, so she doesn't have to cut that extra 10 pounds and get down to 135. But in your opinion, what are the chances that we saw the final women's featherweight title fight at UFC 259? Can we say that this division is at least on life support until she decides to pull the proverbial plug?
Yeah, I think it's at the point, because remember when DJ was fighting for a long time and everyone said, oh, we're going to fold the flyweight division because it's not competitive. I think it's at that point right now. They just need someone to challenge Amanda, or someone to be a foil for Amanda that can give her a great fight. And as we've seen, there hasn't really been that at 145, unless these 135ers like Holly Holm or GDR or anyone else wants to go up and test themselves without cutting weight. So But as long as Amanda wants to be champ, I don't imagine Dana White closing. And I think it's lives and breathes with Amanda Nunes right now.
I know Aspen Ladd said if they offered her the title fight at 145, she'd be happy to jump up there and take it. But I'm kind of curious to get your take on the whole situation, Sarah, because, you know, we've talked, you've been on the A side, you've been on the post fight show. Like, we're trying to get you in there. Like, you deserve an opportunity to be back in there. And there's a couple of divisions that could suit you, 35 and 45. What do you think of this whole thing right now with 45, you know, kind of like I said, being on sort of life support right now?
I think Amanda is super happy to fight at 45. You know, they just had the baby, so maybe she's not training quite as much as she used to, or maybe she's training but isn't as focused on the diet. And so fighting at 45 for her is somewhat of an easy paycheck. And this is no disrespect to the girls that she's fighting, but just right now her skill set, she's on fire. She's looking so good. She's looking so sharp. And realistically, her experience versus some of the women that she's been fighting at 145, they're easier fights for her technically than I think some of the girls at 135. And so Amanda's super happy to stay there, get a paycheck, get a good paycheck, not cut weight, not put her body through that, probably have a better camp in terms of her overall experience and enjoyment of it. So I think she sticks around at 45 for as long as there are people that they can put in with her, whether they, you know, are ready or not. I would hate to see Danielle Wolf win the fight against Felicia and immediately fight Amanda. I'm not saying they wouldn't do it. They very likely could. But just given her first fight in that contender series, she looked very green. She looked like she needed a lot of time to get some growth. Wrestling, jiu-jitsu was not good. It was Amanda would go in there, throw an overhand right, throw a leg kick, take her down. The fight would be over faster than it would be with Megan.
Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened. I hope they don't go that direction if that fight plays out that way, but we'll see. So, Sarah, if you're the UFC right now, are you doing Nunes Juliana Pena right now, or do you think there's another way that this could go in terms of Amanda's next fight?
I mean, I would love to see actually Aspen Ladd and Pena, and then the winner of that fight for the title. I think both those girls would have a really great fight against each other, but then also set up a good fight with Amanda. I don't think that Pena at this point has done enough. Like, she just lost to Jermaine. Yes, she just won a fight, but that's one win. And I don't think that one win should get her into that title shot. I know that Holly, I don't think that Holly's out for very long. And I love that they were setting that fight up. Whoever wins that fight could get the title shot. So I think you give Pena one more fight. I don't know who you give Amanda right now, because I don't think that anyone is super primed and ready. I just don't think that the UFC should have done the Jermaine and Holly fighting on the same card in Abu Dhabi back in September, because what happened was both Aldana and Pena lost. They should have done Holly and Jermaine. They should have done Pena and Aldana, and Pena and Aldana, the winner, should have fought for the title. So it's a little bit muddled right now.
Yeah, or just giving Aldana the title shot to begin with, and we wouldn't be in this mess right now, but here we are.
Right.
Jose has... Did Aspen Ladd convince you in any way to, because I know last week you were down for Nunes versus Pena, but did hearing what Aspen Ladd said, is that changing your stance on this, or you still all in on Nunes Pena?
I'm fine with Ladd or Pena against Amanda Nunes, simply because Amanda has beaten everyone pretty much in that top five. And I just want fresh matchups. So if the UFC wants to book that, and whoever wins that fight, deservedly so, should be the number one contender, no question about it. But if they don't want to lose a contender and just have Amanda fight Juliana and then maybe defend it at 145 and then fight Aspen Ladd or vice versa or whatever they want, so be it. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, if Aspen Ladd made it, like, she convinced me that she should get that Juliana Pena fight. But if they don't want to knock off two fresh matchups for Amanda, I get that too. It's just we're in this era where she doesn't. You have to treat Amanda Nunes like the GSPs and the Anderson Silvas and the Demetrius Johnsons. Like, she's just gonna have to keep fighting the same people over and over because she's beating everyone else. So I'm fine if they want to keep them apart, but I'm also more than happy to watch that, because that fight is just a high level martial arts competition, and I'm all about that. Whether there's title implications or not, I love Juliana Pena versus Aspen Ladd, but I don't know if I want to knock off two fresh matchups so quickly.
Side note, you know who else hasn't fought anyone in like the top five or top 10 of the 135 division? You know, just a Canadian who happens to
be available. I was going to say probably my opponent this week. Yeah, I was going to say.
We're matchmaking. We're trying to fit some puzzle pieces together. But either way, we wish Megan Anderson nothing but the best. I'm sure there will be organizations ready to inquire about her services sooner rather than later. But we'll move on to our last topic of regulation. The point for round three goes to... possibly the UFC's newest bantamweight contender, Sarah Kaufman, up 2-1.
2-1.
There you go.
Pretty stoked.
I don't think I've ever been on the show and not been down 2-1. So it is what it is.
Yeah, if you're new to the show, talk to somebody who's watched the show from the beginning. You know what's going to happen right now. But let's head to this Saturday. The UFC back at it once again. UFC Vegas 22. It's headlined by Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland. The first of three really big middleweight main events coming up over the next month. Jose, we're going to begin with you. We love to talk on this show about the stakes for these main event fights on a fight night, but I'm going to phrase it in this way because both of these guys are on a roll. Kevin Holland was at worst a top three fighter of the year guy in 2020 after going 5-0. Derek Brunson, yeah, top three, probably number one on a lot of people's lists. But then you have Derek Brunson, who once last year and has done so many times in his career, he loves to be in this spoiler role. So I'm curious, who has more at stake in this fight, Derek Brunson or Kevin Holland?
Probably Derek Brunson, because he's at the point in his career where he's fought in a lot of the guys in that top five. Like, who's he lost to? Robert Whittaker, Israel Adesanya, Jacare Souza. I think he definitely beat Anderson Silva. The only thing is, the only people's opinions that matter are the judges, and the judges thought Anderson Silva won that fight. But Derek Brunson's lost to pretty much the who's who at the top of the middleweight division and beaten everyone else. He's not getting any younger. So if he wants to continue to be a viable contender and eventually get this rematch with Israel Adesanya that he wants, he has to win. He's already lost to the champion right now. Kevin Holland has proven to be a very popular fighter. He talks a lot. Even in the media days, the last few days, Derek Brunson has said, "This isn't personal between me and Kevin, this and that." Isn't really selling the fight for the casual fans. He's just like, you know, he's a good fighter, we're on streaks, this and that. Kevin Holland is DMing Derek Brunson. He's talking trash about Israel Adesanya. He's talking trash about Darren Till. He's talking so much greasiness that if he loses, I think he's built up enough of a fan base that this won't be super detrimental to his career. There's also a ton of middleweight fights that are coming up that Kevin Holland can slot in there, either on short notice or fights the loser, maybe fight the winner. I think Derek Brunson is more to lose right now just because he's been at this point, and to lose to someone that is talking so much trash to him would be detrimental, hugely detrimental to his career at his age. So yeah, Derek Brunson 100%.
Sarah, what do you think about this? Because like Jose said, Derek Brunson's kind of on like the back nine, so to speak, if you look at his age, but he's performing very well at this point. He's won three in a row. And then you have Kevin Holland, who's just on the surge. And a lot of people have like hit me up and said, listen, if Kevin Holland goes out there and stops Derek Brunson, I wouldn't be shocked if they just threw him into a title fight right away as the number 10 guy in the division. So sometimes the hot hand gets the title fights and gets the big opportunities, but looking at these two guys, where they're at in their career, who has more at stake this Saturday, Holland or Brunson?
Brunson definitely has more at stake in terms of his overall career. I agree with Jose that this for him, he hasn't been nearly as active as Kevin has. You know, Kevin had, what, five fights last year? Maybe he had six fights and had won his last five. Like, it's insane how active he's been since 2019. And so he has this hot streak going. With how he beat Jacare, I think he could build that back up. If something were to happen, he were to lose, he could build that back up. Again, he had three fights, one in July, one in August, one in September, or August, September, October. You know, he's been so active, he could build that back up quickly. Derek Brunson, on the other hand, he hasn't been as active. He doesn't have that same, I would say, fan appeal when it comes to the trash talking and how he's building up these fights and how he's acting in the fight. People love it. People love what Kevin's doing. So I definitely think that Brunson needs to win this fight if he wants to stay anywhere close to that title picture. And I think that if Kevin wins the fight, he very well could argue his way into a title shot just because he's been exciting. People are remembering him. And because of that, you know, fans are behind him and they could set up a title shot that people would watch.
Kevin Holland is such an interesting guy because he's so close to a title shot, yet he doesn't care that he's so close to a title shot. He just wants to fight like as much as possible. He even told me the other day when I talked to him that he's teasing going back down to 170 so he can stay active and just fight as often as possible. Like, he doesn't care about title shots and main events and all this stuff. He just wants to fight. He's just such an interesting cat, no doubt about that. I'm really looking forward to that fight. But Sarah, I wanted to get your take on this. We'd like to obviously celebrate the main events, but celebrate sort of the under the radar storylines heading into these cards. So what other fight, what other storyline heading into Saturday sticks out to you that isn't getting enough love right now?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Leo Santos, and he's kind of like this quiet guy who's racked up all these wins in the division. He's on a lot of the lists for like most consistent in terms of wins in the 155 division, but he has had, you know, he had a 3-year layoff where he had injuries and fights fall through. So I'm really excited for that fight. I hope that he does really well and that he gets the win. It's going to be just kind of a young wrestler, could be a tough fight for him, but we've seen him kind of step through and beat Kevin Lee when it was definitely unexpected with the big knockout. I think I'm the most excited, and I don't know, I think her name is Baez, not Baze, but maybe it's Cheyenne Baze. I'm not sure how I pronounce it.
It's Baze, yeah.
It's Baze. So the Baze and Montserrat Ruiz fight is probably the one I am the most excited about. Yes, there's two fights, 135 for the women that I, of course, always follow and always try and keep an eye on. But Montserrat Ruiz and Cheyenne Baze is definitely the fight that I am the most excited for on the card.
Yes. Debut for her. She was supposed to fight Kay Hansen. That would have been a lot of fun, but Montserrat getting in there is a very interesting test for her. Of course, her husband JP Bay is also on the card making his octagon debut. So what a story that would be if that young couple can go in there and get victories on the same card. Jose, what is your under the radar fighter storyline heading into Saturday that's not getting enough love?
I do think it's Leandro Santos and Grant Dawson. Leandro Santos, what? He hasn't lost since 2009. And, like, he's beaten Kevin Lee. Did he beat Norman Park or was it a draw? Regardless, he fought. He didn't lose to Norman Park. Like, he's beaten Anthony Rocco Martin. He's beaten Efren Escudero. He's beaten Adrian Martins. Like, he's beaten people that people – he's beaten fighters that fans – no. And Grant Dawson hasn't lost since what, like 4 or 5 years too? And he's been on this. He hasn't lost in the UFC as a contender series vet. So, and to me, that is the people's main event for people that really follow the sport of MMA. Obviously, the co-main event rules. Gregory Gillespie had all this hype. He got decapitated inside Madison Square Garden. He had a fantastic media day saying it is what it is. I have accepted being on the highlight reel for the rest of my life with Kevin Lee. Brad Riddell, I don't know a single person in that city kickboxing camp that doesn't speak just so highly of this man. A lot of people think he is a future contender, future title challenger, and he is so realistic with his career. When Michael Chandler signed with the UFC, Brad Riddell, I interviewed him on Fight Island. He goes, I want that fight so badly because it'd be like fighting a mirror. I am just very aware at my place in the UFC and will probably go to my teammate Dan Hooker. So it is refreshing to hear fighters that are willing to climb the ladder slowly and not just catapult themselves all the way to the top. So the two lightweight fights absolutely rule, and they are not getting enough love because of the top of the 155-pound division is so in flux with what is happening with the title and and all the big names. But these fights are awesome, and do not miss them.
Yes, Dawson Santos is really interesting, especially with Dawson bumping up to 155 for the first time. He's always been a 45er, or he fought a catchweight the last time, but says he's put out a lot of size since July and really interested to see what he looks like. Of course, Julia Avila versus Julia Stolyarenko is absolutely ridiculous. That's going to be a very violent fight, no doubt about that. So should be a fun card to lead us into UFC 260 next weekend, which is kind of creeping up on us if we're really thinking about it. A lot of people forget that that's going down next week with two title fights. But this game, ladies and gentlemen, we can do a drum roll, even though we already know what's going to happen. It's going to continue, all right? Very, very little pomp and circumstance. Jose gets the point. It's on to the knockout round. And we're going to have some fun with this one, my friends. We're bringing back a segment that you have loved in the two, maybe three times that we've done this. But for those who are new to the game, the knockout round, the competitors have no idea where this question is going to go. They will each have 60 seconds to respond in the round. And once they are done speaking, I know this is pressure, right? We will then turn it over to Judge E. Casey Lydon, with the help of the listeners and fans, to render the final decision. So, Jose, you are the champion. You want to go first, or do you want to pass this over to Sarah and figure out what the hell is going on right now?
Is this the two doors, two questions, or the same question?
No. There's some doors. There's some doors. I don't think you've done this yet.
I'll let Sarah go, because I'm curious about what's happening right now.
Okay. I don't think Jose has seen this before, honest, but this is a segment called What Am I Thinking? All right, where there are two randomly selected fighters to choose from, and you pick door number one or door number two. Whenever you receive the name, you're going to have 1 minute to put yourself in this person's shoes. You don't have to do voices or anything like that. I mean, you can if you'd like, but you have 1 minute to just say what they might be thinking right now. And these are randomly drawn earlier today. So, Sarah, without really knowing what the hell's going on right now, do you want door number one or door number two?
Door number two.
Ooh, this should be fun. Sarah, you are the nicest MF-er in the UFC, Steven Wonderboy Thompson. He wanted that next title shot. It went to Jorge Masvidal, which may have actually been the best case scenario outside of him getting it. But right now, you're putting yourself in the shoes of one Steven Thompson. What are you thinking? 1 minute on the clock. Your time starts right now.
Well, you know, I would just like to say I'm very excited for Jorge Masvidal. We've stepped in the cage together. We had a great fight. You know, I was really looking forward to having my opportunity to get that title shot. But I understand that other people sometimes step ahead of me and take those shots away from me. But I won't hold it against them because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a competitor. I'm a martial artist, and it's all about integrity. It's all about respect, and I respect both of my opponents. That could have been my opponents, but they're not. So here we go. You know, I will just keep training. I'll work with my dad. I'll just do nice things out in the community to make sure that everyone knows that I am the nicest person that's in the UFC. And I'll quietly work my way up until I'm about 45, and hopefully at some time get my title shot. But if I don't get my title shot, I just want to say thank you so much to all of my fans in the UFC who are going to be watching Masvidal and Usman in what's going to be a great title fight.
Wow, that was outstanding. That was really, really good. That was really, really good. I'm super impressed right now. Jose is like, damn it, I should. What am I going to do?
No,
but there's
not,
only one.
I'm not nice enough to put my mind inside Wonder Boy.
Well, we're going to see if you can put your mind inside this fighter, because there's only one door left, and the name you have drawn is someone we've already mentioned on the show, Juliana Pena. Juliana has had a lot to say over the last week and a half, wanting the next title shot at 135 against Amanda Nunes. Some folks are in on this. Some are shaking their heads at this notion. So 1 minute on the clock. What are you thinking, Juliana Pena? And go.
Well, first of all, like, why wouldn't I get the next shot at Amanda Nunes? It's just logical. Like, I haven't fought her yet. GDR had her shot. Holly Holm had her shot. What else is Amanda Nunes going to do? Yes, I took the fight against Valentina Shevchenko when I had already gotten the title fight at UFC 200. Because let's not forget, I was at the end of that table with Amanda Nunes in the belt. And someone asked me, by the way, only question of the press conference, I saw that very handsome reporter, Jose Young, sitting in the front row. So, yes, of course I remember this press conference. The wind was blowing. Brock Lesnar almost got blown away before we came in and sat down. I deserve the shot. And then what? Ronda Rousey gets to come back. She gets a title fight. And then Amanda Nunes just gets to fight Raquel Pennington because I lost to Valentina Shevchenko in a fight I was winning and then overlooked her. And so what? I've had to fight Jermaine Duran and me? I should have gotten the title fight already. You know, Mother's Day is coming up. Amanda's a mom. I'm a mom. Let's fight on Mother's Day weekend to see who the baddest mom in the sport is. All this NMF, BMF stuff, forget it. Baddest mom in the world. Let's make it happen.
Wow. This is why I love this segment so much. It was amazing because, like, once I said go, Sarah's face for Steven just turned all nice and sweet. And then Jose, his eyes, you just see fire in them and steam coming out of his ears. You guys really took this to heart, and I'm impressed by both of you. But luckily, I'm a big coward, and I don't have to make this decision. We turn it over to the judge, the jury, the executive producer, the incomparable, baddest stash in MMA media, E. Casey Lydon, to render the final decision. Casey, perhaps you've seen what the viewers have had to say about this battle. It is up to you. Who is the champ of Between the Links?
This might have been the most competitive final round we've ever had on Between the Links. It was just exceptional. And man, oh man. Okay, let me tally this up. Carry the one. Okay. All right. Okay, I got it. I did the math. All right, here we go. Your winner. I'm scoring the final round a 10-10. It's a draw, so the belt stays, and still.
Wow, all right.
I'll take it.
I've never seen this before. A draw.
No one likes a draw.
No one likes a no contest.
It's the theme of the week. It's the theme, no contest. It's the theme. That's how we do things here.
Oh, my God. At least it was like a Figueredo Moreno type draw where it was action packed from start to finish.
There are no eye pokes. It was a 10-10. There was no clear winner.
Excuse me. One of the opponents cheated and brought a dog onto the show. That's worse than an illegal knee.
Ooh.
The dog ruined my first round. So
that's true. Backfire.
I gave it to you.
All right. That's fair.
That's true. Well, Jose, you are the champion still. It was, listen, you do what you got to do to take the belt home with you. So you still get 30 seconds to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, good, bad, and different in the sport of MMA. Sarah will also get her chance, but kick us off, my friend.
Man, I was not expecting to win this fight. So I did not prepare any sort of victory speech whatsoever. I mean, I'll be at UFC 260 and UFC 261, so I guess watch for all the content coming. And UFC 261, I would say normally, if you're in the crowd, come say hi. But don't do that. Leave. Don't come near me. I'm going to try to be as far away from the fans as possible. So if you're in there and you see me, you can yell at me from 6 feet away or behind the plexiglass. Please don't come near me. Please don't cough on me. And please don't come and high five or, you know, ask me where Jed Meshew is or Pete Scale or any of that stuff. Let's just play it safe in Jacksonville.
There you go, Sarah, and Rhino. You have 30 seconds as well. It was a draw after all. And what would you like to say to the peeps? Good, bad, and different. Sport of mixed martial arts. Anything you want to plug? The floor is yours.
Well, we definitely want to say we apologize for ruining the ambiance that was Jose Young's speech and his speaking, and also for ruining my point of view when I was trying to get some good information across to the fans. But you know, we'll live to fight another day. We're ready to fight. We're ready to go. I won't show anybody my toes for today. You'll have to save that for maybe, I don't know, like an OnlyFans page that's only my left toe, but that's to be seen in the future. For now, you know, just doing my thing. Sitting in Canada, we'll watch the fights from here. No one can touch me because I'm in Canada. Anyway, so I guess don't say hi to me at the fights. I'm going to say hi to me online.
Excellent. What a battle. Unbelievable. Sarah, you'll be back for sure. But that'll do it this week on Between the Links. For Jose Youngs, Sarah Kaufman, Rhino, E. Casey Lydon, I am Mike Heck, the iconic voice of Esther Lynn takes you out of here. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
This has been Between the Links. I'm Esther Lynn. You know this because I say my name whenever I speak. Thanks for watching. Toodles. Toodles, everyone. I don't know why I'm waving. You can't see me, but I'm waving. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.